Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, that means you, that means I, say so. And truly, I was glad, I hope that you are glad, when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you come on in this house. You come on in. Invite a family member. Invite a coworker, a neighbor, a long-lost friend. Come on in this house where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And I tell you what a glorious and victorious day it is. It is. Another day that the Lord has made, Monday, September the 5th, 2022, here on the spoken word. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And I know that many of us around the continental U.S. of A. and other parts of the world are celebrating Labor Day. What is this celebration in the secular setting of Labor Day? It is a day that is set aside, a day of reflection upon the working class citizens of our great nation, of our great world, who labor so extensively and intensively to bring about change, to bring about an evolutionary progression and process, which means progress, who helped to build their community, their cities, their states, even their country, to a level of highest expectation and fulfillment. This is a day that we say thank you. Thank you. We applaud you. We appreciate you for all that you do and are doing now and will continue to do until the Lord God Almighty says otherwise. And this is a day that those who labor take aside, a rest day. Someone might say a secondary Sabbath day, to just rest, to just reflect, to revise, to renew, to regenerate. This is a day for you. I know that there are many types of celebrations that are going on in the community, that people are having parades and other gatherings and other eateries, and some are, you know, transporting to relatives' homes, to friends' residences. Whatever you choose to do, do it. Do it because why? You deserve it. And God wants us to enjoy life. Jesus told us, he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He says, I came unto you that you might have life and that more abundantly. That means you already have it. Now enjoy it. We're not supposed to take our lives that God has gifted us and granted us with and just work, 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 work. Because as long as you live, you're going to have debt. You're going to owe someone. The moment you pay two bills, the third is on its way. So that is life. Such is life. This is when we must trust God to be the manifold provider, the Jehovah Jireh, that he is the Lord God our provider, the God who makes a way out of no way, who gives us and orchestrates divine favor through mankind, through the very elementation of heaven itself. This is whom we trust. And this is why on our coin denomination we see, in God do we trust. That's right. In God do we trust. And this is where our trust is. Money is energy. Energy brings about change. It alternates and alternates various types of frequencies. So the scripture lets us know that money is a necessity. Money, what? Doeth all things. That's right. That means that we need this frequency in order to be able to break the back of poverty. We need this in exchange for a foundation piece for prosperity, to accumulate to the level of wealth and from wealth to riches. So thank God for his provision. But you know, all in all, we have to trust the hand of God to bring forth wealth and riches. For it's the Lord our God who gives us the power to gain wealth. But wealth is generated through the cycle of prosperity. Prosperity generates wealth. Wealth generates riches. And this is when we can help to change the lives of others. And as much as God gives unto us, we should give unto others unselfishly, unquestionable, just free-hearted. And we should be that peacemaker. And Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, we could see a lot of disputes and a lot of hostility be remedied if there is, and whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. The truth speaks for itself. If we could break the back of poverty, we would have solved two-thirds of the nation's issues and problems. A lot of times people are often hostile because they're in a position that they don't know what to do. Their income is not matching their outcome. They're pushed against the wall with very little space to move forward or even go backwards. And as a result, because they feel trapped, they feel oppressed. So an oppressed person oftentimes will be oppressive toward others. This is why we have to lean and depend upon God to be Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that opens the doors at our employment that gives us divine favor for that early payday, for that unknown or just miraculous dispersion into our accounts. This is God. That's the hand of God. And the more that we trust him, the more that he will entrust us and will give us the more. But as much as God gives us, we must give back. This is a base level requirement. And God bless those of us who are doing it. Those of us who are standing in seed in our season of prosperity to receive so that we can give. It's on its way. Very, very shortly, we're going to see it in our posture. And we just thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy, because it is of the Lord's doing that we are here, that we are able to do what we do, and he is marvelous in our eyes. That's right. That's why he loads us with benefits. Benefits are provision, known and unknown. And God has made provisions for us, and some of us don't even know about it yet. But we just thank him in advance. And just sometimes you don't have to say a lengthy and longacious prayer or praise. Just say, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for what I have, what is on its way for me to have, and what I will attain in the future. But I thank you for the here and now moment. And when you say that, when you thank God, he will show that he is thankful unto you for even considering to thank him for the here and now, for the present tense of things, and even for the future in advance. He said, because you have been faithful over a few things, behold, I will make you ruler of many. And when God makes us the ruler of many, let us not forget where we once came from, lest we should revisit that place again. Let me tell you, the more that God does, the more that we must do. This is a word of knowledge. Somebody is sitting out there in listening land. I don't know whether you're in the continental U.S. of A. I say this repetitiously because I don't know whether you're in Canada, whether you're in the continental USA again, whether you're in South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, even in Antarctica. It doesn't matter because you know what? And Australia too. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. That's right. There's liberty. There's freedom. There's movement there. And we take advantage of that movement so that we can move forth the kingdom of God. And I truly hope and pray that you're having a blessed and wonderful Labor Day or this day. But we should celebrate workers every day. We think about those who are the frontline workers. The doctors that are working beyond the borders, who are going into foreign territories that they have little or no knowledge of, not knowing what they face. We pray God's hand of protection be upon you, and that the angels of the Lord watch over you as you're doing the work of the Almighty God. We pray God's deliverance and peace over you. We're even praying for the peace of Israel, because I'm going to tell you something, whether you know it or not, as believers, we need to constantly make sure that we are praying for Israel. For God said that whoever prayeth for Israel, they will prosper. So keep Israel in your prayers every day. Keep the continent of Africa in your prayers. There's so much turbulence. There's so much civil uprising, so much displeasure, so many things that are just not negotiable in that continent, continent/country. That's right. Many cultures. It is a cultural melting pot, the continent/country of Africa. There's much desertion there, much frustration, so many civil uprisings, sometimes uprisings within uprisings. We need to pray for the peace of Mother Africa. And we know that Mother Africa is very precious indeed, because here lies the very cradle of civilization itself. That's right. We need to even pray for Europe, pray for the war in Ukraine. That's right. And just pray that the hand of God will move swiftly and extensively to give them the mind, the Russians, that's right, the mind to just go back from where whence you came and return to your land and to reverse the polarity of your hostility into passion, into care, into loving kindness. Because Jesus did tell us that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence, all kinds of unpleasantry in the land. And so a laborer's work is never done. When you are in the area of implementation of ministry, whether that ministry is evangelism, whether that ministry is the prophetic word, the prophetic calling, whether that ministry is a pastoralship, or even so, that ministry is of teaching, of deliverance, of miracles, your work never seems to be done. And some of you may be asking, why don't you say the office of bishop? Well, see, being a bishop is an office. It's not a calling. The scripture said it's a man. I love you, my beloved sisters, but I have to speak the word as it is written. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he must be blameless, sober, the husband of one wife. He didn't say the wife of one husband. The husband of one wife, not given over to filthy lucre, not a brawler. Bishop is an office. That is, somebody says the calling. No, it's an office that is held accountable as a chief, as literally an overseer of leadership. And it takes fatherly instinct to do that. Now, motherly love compasses everything. We know without us as mothers, and I love my children, and my children are grown and grown, but I love my children, and I have other children that are not biologically linked to me, but they're associative to me. They're the non-nuclear children, or the non-biological children. I love them as much as I love my own biological children. And I care for them. So I have thousands of children. That's right. Sometimes I feel like I'm a secondary Sarah. I've got secondary children, thousands of secondary children that have came through the ranks of my instruction, of being prevalent in the educational community, well over 35 years. This is the 35th year. Yes, it is. Started out in 87. So this is the 35th year. Started out, and I gave you my testimony previously and told you that I started off at a volunteer in early childhood program. And from there, God just kept veering me up the path of fulfillment where he wanted me to be. I wanted to be in another place, but he set me where he wanted me to be. So wherever you're set and wherever you go, God will give you the room to grow. And that is what has happened with me. I never thought the day that I would be an educator. And I tell you, I didn't. I had many other things that I was pursuing, but God set me where he wanted me to be. And as being an educator, it's a great fulfillment. That is an extensive level of labor as well, because you never retire. Some of us are saying, I'm going to take a young retirement. Let me tell you something. I'm looking forward to the same thing, too. But guess what? You never retire from being an educator, because there will be somewhere, somehow, and in some way, you will be used as a vehicle to instruct others. That's right. So, you know something? We may say we're going to retire from education, but we never, ever retire from it. It's a perpetuation of the calling and the mission that God has set you in. God is just an awesome God. He's just a wonderful God. The more that we think we know him, the more there is to know about him. And right when we think we've got it panned down to the key, he just does something else extraordinary. And that is why I love him, I thank him, and I praise him for all that he has done, for all that he is doing, and all that he will continue to do in my life. So thank God that you're joining in with us today. And just going to send out a couple of prayer requests that I got in, and just saying that I'm praying for the healing of Ms. Brooks, who's on her way to a medical facility for treatment, and didn't go into full details, but we're asking that God would touch, heal, and deliver her. And just want to pray for those who are in the midst of psychological turmoil. Let me tell you something. Here's the word of knowledge. Satan came but to kill. When you kill something, you cut it off at the root. Steal. That means take something that is not rightfully yours. But just take it, because the person is not being vigilant in watching. The person can only steal from you when you're not vigilant in watching. And destroy, that means to wipe out, erase every level of hope and positivity in an individual and in their life. And you do that to their life, you're going to impact the environment around them. That means those who are in a direct association with them, and tear down the saints of the Most High God. That means try to make the believers look non-convincing, worthless, powerless. And if you can do that, you say mission accomplished. But see, Jesus told us, he is the victory that overcometh the world and even our faith. So through him, we conquer these negative forces of life. And we speak the word. God said in his word, my word will not return unto me void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light of God will shine upon your path. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're praying God's fulfillment today, his presence, his miraculous intervention right now, because we know that he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Father God, in the name of Jesus, on this glorious day it is, we thank you for just being God, and beside you there is none other. We're asking that you touch, heal, deliver, prosper, tear down the barriers of adversity, all of those hindrances, every element that would speak itself and exalt itself above God and the knowledge of God, and that we would hold in captivity every thought to the knowledge and to the kingdomship of Jesus Christ and of you, Sovereign God. We're asking that you step in and that you step up and cause us to step out in faith and to receive the miraculous. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you in advance for the miracles thought, the miracles conceived, and the miracles that are taking manifestation right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we know that you know that you are God, and beside you there is none other. So all that we have in this world is you. All that we have in this world is Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you that through him and through you, we are more than conquerors through you that love us. And Father God, we are your testimonies. We are living epistles being read of men daily. Let our reports be impressive and impactive to non-believers, Lord. Forgive us for all wickedness, all levels of maliciousness that we may have even thought, not even committed, but desired to do. And Lord, as King David said, create within us a clean heart and renew within us a right spirit, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Should there be any shortcomings within us, Lord, be as thou patient with us and cover us under the redemptive blood of thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of lords, King of kings, master of each and everything. And Father God, we're asking that you open up the windows, the ears of our understanding, and impute within us the greatness of thy power, thy supernatural phenomenal presence. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, open up thy word to us, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we speak miracles and miracles thereof. We speak healing and healing therein. We speak divine intervention and therein. We speak divine favor and it's manifested. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord of lords, King of kings, in the name of Jesus, amen. Now, let's just reflect on all the things that God has done for us. He has done such great things, whereof we are glad. And sometimes we just need to reflect on those things, because oftentimes we get battle-weary, emotionally sensitive, and we lose focus. Sometimes we veer from the path in which we're traveling. It's not that we're trying to be a wayfaring stranger. It's just that sometimes we get caught within the ranks that we understand. And as a result, we veer from the course in which we were assigned to. But God knows. He knows. He knows who we are and who we are in him. And thank God, because we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that what? When Father God looks at us, he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten Son. And thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, God, for thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Because that name is above every name. And also, since we're in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalms what? Psalms is the most extensive book in the Holy Scriptures. There's 66 books, and Psalms is the longest running book. It has 150 divisions. And in Psalms, there's diverse themes that are reflected from the writer David. We see with Nathan, and there has been other writers, that's right, that have written in the book of Psalms. So there's a lot of contributory writers in Psalms. But David sticks out. Why? Because he associates David with being the anointed chosen king of Israel. That's right. Because when God chose David, because David slew Goliath, you all remember that story where God gave David the victory over the giant? Well, you know something, Saul was complimentary about what David had done. But at the same time, a spirit of envy and jealousy generated within him. See, sometimes when God is getting ready to really put his hand of exaltation upon you, and he has anointed you for a specific task, you will see those be filled with indignation, that those who are filled with contempt against you. Sometimes that contempt could be hidden, but it's minuscule in property, but it elevates and it generates when God uses you in a capacity of your calling to reveal your calling to you and to others. Sometimes that will generate a feeling of animosity. And this is what Saul felt, because Saul had fallen from the wayside. He had actually began conversing with divinators, with those who use enchantment as a way of manipulating and monopolizing his position. And he knew that God had chose David to become the king of Israel. So what happened? He wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill his influence, kill his character. So he wasn't just so much about taking his life. No, he wanted to diminish him so badly that his confidence, in which other people generated as a trust ethic, would be so diminished, he would have no influence. And David knew this. Then he even tried to start slandering David's name. And we know David, he did fall. He did do what he did with Bathsheba, but God forgave him. But nevertheless, Saul wanted him out of the way because he was threatened by his presence, because he knew that the hand of God had anointed this man. And see, when God anoints you, let me tell you something. Here's revelation. When you're anointed to do a task or a job, don't you know you stand out like a sore thumb? You are that elephant in the room full of teddy bears. You are the elephant. You stand out. And as a result, don't you know that because you stand out, someone else wants to step in and take your place? Because it's the flesh, blind ambition. And this is why he wanted him out of the way. So David knew this. He left. He fled. Those who even thought were his friends turned against him because of Saul. But when the hand of God is set and delivered you, what God has for you, let me speak this word of knowledge here and now. There is no one or nothing that can change or also take the course or take it. It is anointed. It is etched in stone. It's the anointing of God that breaks that yoke as well. So we see the diversity of the various topics that are in the book of Psalms. Some of them generate toward praise, acknowledgement of God, worship, adoration of God. Some of his Psalms reflect the human equation of fear, of uncertainty. Every emotion experienced by mankind in general has been reflected in the book of Psalms. And this is why for every new believer, even those of us who are more seasoned, we need to make sure that we feed from Psalms. Because there's something about the book of Psalms, it sets the tone for worship. It sets the tone for adoration. It sets the tone for intervention. That's right. It sets the tone for deliverance. That's right. And you know something else? Psalms also reflects the very inner beauty of the Holy Spirit residing in the heart of man. And some even say, well, the Holy Spirit hasn't been given then. No, the Holy Spirit came upon man. See, the Holy Spirit got into man when Jesus Christ came. And when he sacrificed his life on Calvary, then the Holy Spirit not only came upon man, the Holy Spirit got into man. See, that's the difference. See, I can put something on a glass. I can put a napkin on a glass. It does some provision. It keeps anything from actually spilling into the glass. But when I put the napkin in the glass, here is, if I pour something, it automatically utilizes the capacity of absorption. So this is what happens. So the Holy Spirit does the job of the holy teacher, of the holy guide, and gives us the capacity to understand. The Holy Spirit discerns. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit guides. I know so many say the Holy Spirit, people jump up and down. That's an expression of emotions through being touched of the Holy Spirit, okay? Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in a still, small voice. Sometimes it comes in a voice of raging thunder. And I know that this is my testimony. When I have been perplexed of things or worried about things or something, because I'm human too. I am not perfect, and I'm definitely assembling myself to make the journey to perfection. But I have not nearly came even close to it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit speaks to me. The God speaks to me in these three words: all is well. And I said, okay, I'm good. But then another couple of hours later, let me be realistic about this. Let me just tell you the truth. That'll come back to my mind again, same thing. The Lord gets a little bit more assertive with me. He says, Abby, didn't I tell you all is well? I said, uh-oh, I better go back. Okay, Lord, I thank you. And sometimes it's according to the very gift of God that dwelleth within you, your openness up to the level of receiving what the Holy Spirit says. Now, Psalms 138. This is a psalm of David. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I praise and sing praise unto thee. Some of you are saying, well, God, what are you talking about? You know something? Here it is. Gods are deemed as deities. Deities, various cultures have various deities. You know that. You know, in Roman mythology and Greek mythology, there was Zeus, Diana, and all these Eros. That's the god of passion and love. And various deities represent various societies. So at that phase of time, he was saying gods. And he said gods with a small g, not a capital G. See, the God, G-O-D, is the capital G, because he's the all-masterful. He's the only one, then, now, and forever. So other gods, G-O-D-S, small G-O-D-S, represents diversity of deities amongst those who are polytheistic, which worship multiple deities. That's right. Some talk about Shiva. That's right. Some talk about Buddha. That's right. Various deities that are deemed as being superficial. You know, Amun-Ra in the Egyptians, it means the creator of all things. So there's diverse types of deities. That means there's only one true God, and he created the heavens and the earth and spoke us into existence, and that's the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Elyoha. That's right. So here he's saying, I will give recognition to him and only to him. Second verse. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He says, I'm going to recognize you and give praise unto you, for I realize the source of my creative ability. My capacity, my existence is from you, Lord God. For we know that every good and perfect thing was made by him. Third verse. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. That means the day when I called out to you, when I cried out and said, Lord God, I can't take it anymore. Haven't you ever been at that place in your life? And that crossroad, you said, Lord, if it doesn't get any better, just take me out of here. How many of you have you ever been through that? Many of us have. Some of us are too ashamed to admit it. Why be ashamed? Tell the truth. And you have been at that place, and God heard you and pitied you and brought you up and brought you out. And your deliverance came. You can't even tell where it came from. You just know that it came. I remember there was a testimony of a woman. She said her back was against the wall. Her back was through the wall. She had no finances in her reach. She didn't know what she was going to do, how she was going to pay her mortgage, how she was going to even buy groceries, how she was just going to pay her utilities. Now, she was once a productive and very lucrative worker in the marketing capacity. And the thing just crumbled. You know, the economy shifts, and the paradigms, you know, diminish, and things of that measure. So who can explain the economy? I know you say the chief economists, they can't. No. Sometimes they can't. They can take a hypothesis, an educated guess, but they themselves don't actually know. So she just didn't know what to do. And she said she went to her mailbox, and she said she was throwing out mail. She said, this doesn't make any sense. And just spoke to her, this voice. It hasn't been the Holy Consciousness, Holy Spirit. Focus on, throw this away. She opened up the envelope, and there was a check for her to be able to pay her mortgage, to pay her bills, and to even purchase some extra things that she needed for herself. She said, you know what? You have to listen to the voice of God. It's not enough to hear his voice. You have to listen. And what if she would have went to the mailbox? She would have been still, woe is me. She would have still been frustrated. See, sometimes God has to slow us down so he can speed us up to be able to distinguish and to know his voice and to know that he is guiding us in the right way of appropriation. So it says, fourth verse, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when thou, they shall hear the words of thy mouth. That means all the leaders, all they who trust you, God, will acknowledge that it was you and that you have led them into the path of fulfillment. It is you that made the way out of no way. And God is going to work some miracles this week. You better acknowledge God. You better speak and praise his name. And don't just say, oh, my job is, no, 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 no. Who moved the leadership of that job to give you? Who moved that establishment to approve you? Who moved that mountain that overshadowed you? It's the hand of God. And we should acknowledge him on every level of our existence. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of our Lord. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous one into it, and our saying. We know that. It's power, power, wondrous working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It is the blood of Jesus that removes all iniquity, that removes all hindrances, that removes every foul and evil presence. It's something about when you call on the name of Jesus, God hears, he responds, and he sends the angels out to do the work. Though, oh, I love this, though the Lord be high, yet he have respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. Whatever you do you hear what I'm saying to you through the anointing? Don't ever get proud and lifted up, go to turning up your nose and putting your head up in the air, thinking you all that, the bag of chips, the dip, and the manufacturer who put it on the market. No. The more that God does for us, the more humble we should be. The more God grants us, the more thankful we should become. The blessed are the meek. Key element to prosperity, the continuation of the prosperity cycle. Blessed are the meek. Say it with me. This is one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. Meekness. Six things that the Lord hates, the seventh is an abomination. It's sowing seed of discord amongst the brethren. But six is a proud look. It's something about people with a proud look. I have to ask God to help me. It's something about a person that brags and constantly boasts in themselves that makes me just want to tear them apart, limb from limb, and put them together like a reverse jigsaw puzzle. I know that sounds a little bit abrupt and a little confrontational, and the first thing you're saying, well, sister, you come across a little bit brutish. No, it's because God don't like. Let me tell you something. And I tell myself, what God don't like, don't you like? What God don't love, don't you love? How can a man serve two masters? He's going to love one and hate the other. You love God, you don't like unrighteousness. You don't like people being mistreated. You don't like people being talked down to and looked down upon. No, I cannot and will not tolerate a proud and haughty person in my presence. I can't, because God does not give any preferential treatment to such people, thinking that you're more than what you are. We're dirt looking on dirt. I don't care how much education I have. That little education I have and you have, it's nothing. You can't even put it in the eye of the needle compared to the knowledge of God. Get out of here with that. Knowledge is far surpassing of education. The education is good for that moment, for that setting. But see, knowledge forbears no time limit or duration. Knowledge is a perpetuation. Education is for the temporary. Look at so many of us got trained in the education of what was called the New Things ELA. Those of you on the education arena, you know what that is, open court. Remember when open court came to a modified district in the late 90s? Oh, we had to go through 6 weeks of training, education, to learn that curriculum. That's right. See that? But then when the curriculum changed over, the education that we had obtained from open court, we had to go get retrained. Well, the new thing, see, education is constantly changing. What's considered as benchmark accomplishment today, 2 weeks from now, may be considered no longer accruative. And then we have to go get retrained again. So look, get knowledge. See, knowledge says oversees all this. Knowledge says, okay, let me take sector A, sector B, and let's equal sector C. And with sector C, let's put it with D. Knowledge is just a perpetual, it's a continual, I call it evolutionary process. Okay? Now, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. That's the seventh verse. This is Psalms 138 again for your reading consideration and your spiritual inspiration. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou shalt revive me. That means, though I walk amongst those full of conflict, some people just so badly have so much of the enemy inside of them, and I hate to say that, but the truth is the life. They want to see you fail. They don't want to see you prosper. They don't want to see you with the finer things of life. They don't want to see you make the progress that God has anointed for you. If you know something, I give a word of warning to people like that. God said in his word, touch not mine anointed, do my prophet no harm. Did you do that? He said, you better take a millstone, put it around your neck, and jump into the ocean than just to upset one of God's little children. And I like being a child of God because, therefore, I know he's my daddy, and he protects me. He keeps me. He provides for me. He leads me. He guides me. He orders my steps. He removes my enemies. He tears down the partition of hindrance and separation. He elevates me when I'm feeling down. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. And in knowing this, we continue on joyful in our steps. And he will revive me. That means he will refresh me. He will deliver me. And will continue to bless me and prosper me. They might be talking about, oh, the economy's down. You know what? Men will look at me and say, there's lifting up. People say, oh, you know what? Everybody's healthy on them. God will renew my youth like the noonday. And I love the scripture. It says, they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a blessing from the Lord? Isn't that him? Thank you, Father God. Thank you. He says, and, but thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. It means that God's going to wipe away our enemies on this planetary domain. He's going to whoop them down with his wrath. Because the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So you know what? All we have to do is keep on walking by faith, keep being humble, keep being prayerful, keep forgiving, and ask God to guide us in the path of righteousness. Because we don't have sense enough to do it on our own. Let's be realistic with this. Eighth verse, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. That means that God will correct those things which are pertinent to me or in my existence. He will correct that. Sometimes God shows us things about ourselves. We don't even want to admit it. But you know, we have to say, Lord, help us, thou me. He knows that our energy sometimes fails us. He knows that sometimes our focus gets diminished. You know, sometimes we get a little weary, a little battle-weary while we're on the battlefield. He knows that. His grace is sufficient to us. Why do you think God said that my grace is sufficient unto thee? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because he knows that, what? The Spirit of God don't always strive with men. That means we don't always by the Holy Spirit, because that which we are also flesh. We have not made it to perfection yet. And so sometimes we do veer from the course. O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the work of thine hands. Your mercy endureth ever. I mean, your loving kindness. When I see merciful to you, I feel compassion for you. I don't look at who you are. I just look for from where and whence you came. And we're all God's children, but some of us are God's beloved children because we adhere to his voice. And remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So we just thank God for this time of reflection, for this time of revitalization and renewal on this Labor Day 2022. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, what you are doing now, and what you will continue to do in my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. Listen, this time has really surpassed us so very quickly, but nevertheless, we're going to be coming back to you again next week. I was on assignment yesterday because wherever you're assigned, that's where you have to work. That's right. So we're going to be coming back to you again on the Sunday of this week coming up. Yay! And if you want to communicate with me before then, feel free to inbox me at the Blog Talk Radio Network, The Spoken Word. Also, you can email me. Yes, you can. I'll give you my personal email address for consultations, whether you need a word of knowledge, prayer, or just want to just reach out and just be heard, okay? And that is abbyfelps965@gmail.com. I will be there. And listen, know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, and that you can do all things, as I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Have a glorious, victorious, miracle-filled week. Thank you, Lord. And God bless you. I love you. This is your instructor, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Multi-City Maharani, and saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I love you all. See you soon. Bye.